The Sea Grant Files, fresh news about fresh water.
Hi, I'm Jesse Schomburg, and you're listening to The Sea Grant Files. Water scarcity may not seem like a problem for those who live near the Great Lakes, but even here, keeping water sources safe and accessible requires a combination of policy and scientific expertise. The complex task of balancing the water needs of businesses, food producers, and 7 billion people falls to policymakers. Not only do our laws need to ensure access to shared water resources, they also must protect the safety of our water and surrounding communities. But most legislators are not water quality experts. That's where scientists come in. Scientists have a crucial role in policymaking, especially when it comes to global issues concerning water security. The John A. Knaus National Sea Grant Fellowship is one opportunity for new scientists to get involved with the process of policymaking in Washington, D.C. The Knaus Fellowship is awarded to graduate science students. Today, I am pleased to be talking with Jillian Farkas, 2018 Knaus Fellow. Hi, Jillian. Thanks for being with us on the Sea Grant Files today.
Thanks for having me. I'm excited.
So you've been working in the office of Michigan Senator Gary Peters for the last year. What were the major initiatives you worked on during your fellowship?
So a lot of the time during the fellowship, I was really devoted to an issue involving fluorinated chemicals, commonly known as PFAS. PFAS is used in stain-resistant clothing, materials, non-stick pans, some firefighting foams, food wrappers, and sometimes even in the auto industry. They're really persistent, pervasive, and there's plenty of them. There's over 4,700 individual compounds, and congressional members are really concerned about the impact they have on human and environmental health. And these fluorinated compounds aren't just a Michigan issue. It's really occurring nationwide and globally. I know Minnesota has had issues with PFAS, and it's popping up all around the country. And so it's really started to gain traction during my year as the fellow. And we're realizing that there's a lot of gaps that we don't know. And that being said, from the information that we do have, from scientists, from peer-reviewed literature, from different federal agencies, we're really concerned with the effects that they're having on both humans and the environment. And really realizing the importance of this issue, being in Senator Peters' office, we worked with other congressional members and held a congressional PFAS hearing and also a field summit to really learn more from federal agencies and the people that are being affected. And we did this through also legislation. We wrote different letters and had meetings with many constituents and organizations. And PFAS wasn't the only thing that I was working on for the year. I was also able to work with different invasive species issues, conservation issues, such as the Recovering America's Wildlife Act, and also Great Lakes water quality issues, and agricultural issues. So a bunch of different environmental topics.
In all that work that you've been doing, is there one thing that you would point to as like, wow, that was really amazing that I got to be a part of this?
I would say the most amazing thing was helping being a part of the different hearings, from vetting different witnesses and also being able to interact with these different federal agencies. It was just a multifaceted process and just seeing how many people are affected and how pervasive this issue is and just how many different things it touches on. And that was really a staple of my year. And I was able to help write a floor speech that the senator gave. And then he allowed me to come on the Senate floor as he read the speech, which was really an amazing experience. And after the speech was done, we walked out and he's like, "Who wrote that speech?" I'm like, "Oh my gosh, I did." And it was just a once in a lifetime opportunity to see, sitting at my computer desk, going from writing words to hearing it come out of a U.S. senator. It was with many tweaks from a whole bunch of people. It wasn't just my words, but I helped lay the groundwork, which is something that I never thought I would be doing. So it's been a whole process.
So can you tell us about your research before you went to D.C. and maybe explain how you used your research experience to help with the decision making and the policy work that you were involved in?
I've kind of always had a passion for conservation and ecology and really understanding the whole system and how it's impacted with a given issue. And so I worked with the Michigan Department of Natural Resources prior to going to graduate school, and it really gave me insight as to how a department functions within government, particularly how science informs action and policy at a state level. And so realizing how many different avenues can affect policy, I realized that I needed to go to graduate school to have a more robust science background. So I ended up going to the University of South Dakota for my master's in biology. and study the effects of agriculture on wetlands. And so this involves looking at water quality, potentially what pesticides and trace metals and different contaminants are present in this water, and then measured how it affects this kind of wetland habitat quality and how different fish and invertebrates are impacted. And then also from this information that we gathered, we were able to inform wetland management at both the state and federal level. And so really having this background and understanding the effects of contaminants really helped this past year with fluorinated chemical issues. So having an understanding the toxicological effects of chemicals, I was able to really apply this and understand exposure rates or minimum risk levels. And it was more focused on humans, but having that background and understanding how contaminants can affect wildlife through working with the DNR and also do my graduate work, it really helped me better understand when these different companies would come in and potentially tout a solution to a problem. And I would know based on scientific literature and reading comprehension how to ask in-depth questions about the science that they are touting and whether or not it would actually be beneficial for the policy that we are working on. And throughout the kind of this process, being able to understand the scientific literature, I was able to distill different messages and resonate with whoever I was meeting with. I remember reading in a technical report that PFAS are going to be like geological because we're going to be able to find them in our different soil core levels like millions of years later because they're so persistent. And that really resonated with the senator. And he used that kind of quote for several different speeches because he really understood how persistent PFAS chemicals were. And so just being able to take this science jargon and transform it into something that's more digestible was really a skill that I was able to take from my science background and be able to apply it towards policy.
So there's been a lot of concern that science isn't being taken as seriously as many scientists think it should be, especially in Washington, D.C. What is your perspective on how serious the science that you were bringing into the discussion was taken during your time there?
Not being a trained toxicologist, per se, and being more of an ecologist, I tended to turn to the people who are actual toxicologists. But I think focusing on the science in the Hill, and I think you read a lot in the news how the EPA isn't able to use their science unless it's peer-reviewed research. As a scientist, I was able to give my opinion and also have literature and reports that backed what I was saying. And I don't necessarily think that that's how everything works on the Hill. You don't necessarily need reports and scientific papers to back up every statement. But I was pleasantly surprised doing this fellowship on the Hill because a lot of offices that I engaged with had either a Knaus T-Grant fellow or a lot of offices had AAAS fellows. And they're all using their scientific background to help inform policy of different members. And that being said, not every member has a scientist on staff. But I think that that's an important way for local citizens to potentially engage with their representatives and senators. I know it can be difficult for state and federal members of the agencies to separate how science is being used in Congress. It is being used. It is being used, and it's not just their members. We have this amazing resource known as the Congressional Research Service, CRS, and it has this major think tank of everyone that has these different specialties with backgrounds and scientific knowledge and anything else, transportation or in agricultural issues. And the congressional offices are able to use this service anytime that they'd like, and they can contact people. So if they don't know an issue, they can contact the experts. They're able to use this information and incorporate it into policy. Science is being used. It's just maybe not at the level that everyone wishes that it would be.
The demand for water resources is increasing worldwide, while climate change is altering the distribution of rainfall and causing more extreme precipitation events. The rising demand for water, along with the growing challenges of climate change, seem to add even more obstacles to the already complicated task of managing our shared water resources. Why do you think it is important for scientists to communicate with policymakers to best address these challenges?
I'm so glad that you brought this up, Jesse, because this may come as a shock, but not all policymakers have science degrees. And there are many smart people on the Hill, but it's crucial for scientists to be able to distill their message for any given audience. If you can't communicate effectively what you're researching, people won't be invested and they won't care. And you need these people to care because they're helping fund science and they're taking actions that inform science policy. And I get that it can be hard to communicate science effectively. It's definitely a skill that you really have to work on, and I still struggle with it, and I have to practice it. But there's so many amazing resources that are available that help you perfect this skill. And so that can be going to a science conference that's holding a science communication workshop or a luncheon. And there's also great books by authors like Nancy Baron or Randy Olson about science communication. And even a way that I even found out about this fellowship is through Twitter. And there's a hashtag SciComm, and that's a great way to understand what resources are available. Personally, a method that helps me the most is a method called the and, but, therefore, or the ABT method. And I think that's a great place to start, but it does take practice, but it's crucial because these people are the ones that are making the decisions that inform science policy. So you need to be able to communicate your message effectively. My recommendation is just to practice and practice and practice. I was able to practice this daily as a Knaus Fellow. And so Sea Grant has offered so many amazing opportunities like this fellowship to really connect scientists and policymakers.
So as you continue on in your career, how will your experience as a Knaus Fellow influence your choices about communication and policymaking?
The Knaus Sea Grant Fellowship really gave me the opportunity to see behind the curtain, as they say, or how the sausage is made and see really how science impacted decision making. I really figured out that it's so crucial to listen and connect with others, whether it's constituents, congressional offices, or agencies. It's really the communication and relationships that are crucial to affect policy. And just doing science isn't enough to be a great scientist. You really need to be a great communicator. I ultimately don't know where I'll be at the end of my career, but I know that I will use the communication skills and knowledge of how Congress works that I gained during this fellowship in whatever position I'm in. And this was truly a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, and I was so grateful that I was able to participate.
Given your experience now, how do you think regular citizens can best get involved with water policy?
First and foremost, it's helpful to be informed. And I think that involves reading the local newspaper, not just getting all of your news on Facebook. I think it's also getting involved with your local Sea Grant Extension office, whether it's using online resources or in-person events. It's really Sea Grant's mission for facilitating relationships with the public, and scientists really help use the best science to inform managers and policymakers. If you're not going to get involved with your Sea Grant, I also recommend contacting your state or U.S. representative or your state or U.S. senator, because they care. They're elected to represent you, and they want to know what their constituents think, and they want to be held accountable. They need to be reminded what's happening in their district or their state, and they really need to know what's affecting their constituents. And I cannot recommend enough going to town halls or board meetings and even university and college events. And I realize not everyone's schedule is conducive to attending every single town hall or every single board meeting, but going to one or two, I challenge everyone to go to at least one in this upcoming year, just to really understand what's happening in your backyard. And you don't have to be a scientist to influence water policy.
Jillian, thank you very much for joining us on the Sea Grant Files today.
Thank you for having me. This has been great.
That's all for today. I've been talking to Jillian Farkas, 2018 Knaus Fellow. If you'd like to learn more about the John A. Knaus National Sea Grant Fellowship and other student opportunities to get involved with water policy, visit seagrant.umn.edu and click on the page for students. To get involved with water policy decisions, stay aware of issues in your own backyard, and make your voice heard by attending town halls and contacting your local representatives. This episode of the Sea Grant Files was produced by Marissa Speer, Sharon Moen, Chris Harwood, KUMD, and me, Jesse Schomburg. To listen to other episodes of the Sea Grant Files, visit Minnesota Sea Grant at seagrant.umn.edu. Thanks for listening.